Realism is often said to focus on realistic or deep psychological motivation for characters. And it is true that when you look into novels by people like Faulkner, Toni Morrison, Ernest Hemingway, there's a very strong focus on the characters' interior lives. However, you can find that focus in fantasy literature also. Some of the literature we're going to examine is not that closely focused on psychological motivations, but some of it very much is. For example, The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant by Stephen R. Donaldson, you might even say, are too focused on the character's interior life. Another way of defining or separating out fantasy from realistic literature is to say that realistic literature is focused on the minutiae of social interactions between people. And this would be the case for realistic literature being defined by things like Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice or the books of Henry James. And right there, that should tell you we have a problem, since Henry James is defining the category of realistic literature and saying that it's the only really good literature in contrast to fantasy. And of course, he's defining that to put his own books at the very center of it. So we're going to reject some of these categories, at least temporarily. And we're not going to come up with some kind of short Webster's type definition of fantasy. Instead, what I propose is we look at a lot of works that are considered to be right smack in the middle of the fantasy genre. For example, J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, which more than any other work defines fantasy for the 20th century. We're also going to look at Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea books, Terry Brooks's many, many, many sort of Shannara books, Stephen R. Donaldson's The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant. We can then expand our examination of fantasy to include things that are also in other genres but are part of fantasy. For example, children's fantasy is an incredibly important category. Some would say that the 1970s and early 80s were the golden age of children's fantasy. However, when J.K. Rowling came out with her Harry Potter books, that started a new golden age of children's fantasy. And as well as Rowling, we would look at things like The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, Susan Cooper's The Dark is Rising, Lloyd Alexander's The Chronicles of Prydain, and maybe Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea books, though they also fit into the adult genre. There are other books and older books that have fantastic elements, but aren't always considered to be part of the genre of fantasy. And these would include things like Alice in Wonderland, The Princess and the Goblin by George MacDonald, or The Water Babies by Charles Kingsley. These are Victorian books, they're old books, but they yet have fantastic elements to them. And they set the stage for people like Tolkien, who would define the new category that we're looking at. So, what do all these works have in common? Well, first of all, this may seem very trivial, but they're all very long. Fantasy novels generally tend to be quite long. They tend to be multiple books, 3, 5, 7. I think the only reason there's not a lot of fours is no one knows what the proper term is. And that's not quadrology, it's tetralogy, but most people don't know that. But you've trilogy, and you have the 7 books of C.S. Lewis's Narnia cycle, and the 7 books of Rowling's Harry Potter, the 5 books of Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea, and so forth. What else do they have in them? Well, fantasy has magic. Almost all fantasy has some kind of magic or some kind of actions that contradict the laws of mundane physics. Science fiction has this too, but fantasy often doesn't explain the details as much, whereas in Star Trek they might talk about we have deuterium or we have an antimatter engine. In fantasy it's explained as we have a magic ring. We don't talk about what kind of waves or particles come shooting off the ring to manipulate people. It's enough that it's a magic ring. Fantasy also contains otherworldly creatures. Again, in science fiction, this might be aliens. In fantasy, these are creatures often from mythology, sometimes from the author's own imagination. Things like hobbits, elves, dwarves, dragons, old ones, cauldron-born, wizards, talking trees. You can go on and on. In fact, some of the joy of fantasy is seeing either what authors can do with an existing category that we would inherit, like elves or dwarves, or how creative they can be in coming up with something completely new, like the cauldron-born, or the Ents, the talking trees, though Tolkien borrowed the word for that, but not the concept. However, fantastic elements, magic, and otherworldly creatures are all found in works that are not part of the fantasy genre. And these works are usually called magical realism, and they are among the most celebrated and rewarded and respected works in 20th century literature. Magical realism includes writers like Jorge Luis Borges, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Umberto Eco, Italo Calvino, Salman Rushdie, and Mark Helprin. These writers, who often have come from a Latin American tradition, though some of them are Italian and some write in English also, are among the most celebrated because of the beauty of their prose, because of the style of their writing. And this suggests one of the criticisms of fantasy, is that maybe fantasy authors are just bad writers. And if they'd written as well as Salman Rushdie or Jorge Luis Borges, then they would be magical realists. I think that's wrong, and I think, as we'll see in the final lecture, that there's something very specific to magical realism that's very different from fantasy and that makes it more palatable to realist critics. But it is important to note that everything that a great celebrated prize-winning author like Rushdie or Calvino